Welcome back to Your Tech Report. For gadget news and reviews, click to yourtechreport.com.
Back on Your Tech Report, Mark Aflalo in Montreal, Mitchell Whitfield in Los Angeles. If you want to follow along with us online, it is at Your Tech Report on all our social media. Our email address, contact at yourtechreport.com. Mitchell, I've got a conundrum, and I know that you can help, and I know that we talk about this sometimes off the air, but this is the conundrum I have. It is now the first quarter of 2023, okay? I have got a lease that expires in January of next year, 2024.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I need to start shopping now. That sounds pathetic. That sounds crazy. But I need start shopping now because every single vehicle that I want, if I want to do anything other than take what they have, is 6 months, 9 months, maybe even a year away. So I would literally have to go into a dealership now and say, here's a $1,000 deposit for a car that may not even be the same car by the time I get it. And
correct.
I don't know what to do because I want to do the smart, eco-friendly choice. I want to get a hybrid or I want to get an electric vehicle, but I also don't. I'm also scared to take that plunge, not because I'm worried about electricity going away, not that I'm worried about the zombie apocalypse. I've got a generator in my house, but my sister just got the new Ioniq 5. Okay. She's got a really nice Hyundai, a really nice car. But we're in a climate in Canada where you lose 25% of your battery charge in the winter. Yeah. Right off the bat.
Electric cars like heat, by the way. Believe it or not, the batteries love to be hot.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's why.
So, regenerative braking, all that fun stuff that keeps your battery going, that's nice and lovely. I'll keep it in the garage. That's nice and lovely. But the second I drive out, I have to start worrying about it. And here's the thing. In my gasoline-powered vehicle, I'm never worried about it. If I think I'm going to run out of gas, I know there'll be a gas station in the next 5 to 10 minutes of wherever I am. Right. And I wasn't really thinking in those terms until I said to myself, oh, NHL All-Stars in Toronto next year. I'm just going to drive there. It's going to be fun. Wait a second. If I get a Tesla, I'm going to have to plan to stop halfway through and sit there for 2 hours.
Well, this is the issue because here's the thing. And this is where the conundrum comes in, where it's not just about when you are looking to go electric with a vehicle, which I think is fantastic. Most of my friends have already done it.
And we're all going to get there.
It's all mandated, you know, yeah. both of our countries have mandated a transition. So we know what's coming.
Yeah.
You know, the percentages increase every year. You know, the government wants to incentivize, you know, all the big automakers to convert by 2028. I think you have to have like 80% of your fleet. You know, I have to look at the numbers. You may be right for us,
too. I think it's 2035.
But when you're making this decision, and it is a big deal, you're not just making it about your car. You're buying into an infrastructure.
Yeah.
It isn't just a car anymore. Now, with a gasoline car, with a combustion engine, you're not worried. The infrastructure's there. Gas stations are everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. You're not worried about that. You're buying a car. You know there'll be a gas station every other block in some neighborhoods, or at least on the freeway every couple of miles. Okay?
And not only that, but you pull over, and even if there are 50 people waiting for gas, I know it's going to take maximum, 5-7 minutes before that person fills their tank and moves on. Fill
and there
the
are
tank,
a bunch of pumps. As soon as you're done, you move on.
Exactly.
But electric, it's, you know, there are fewer pumps, so to speak. There are fewer, you know, chargers.
And more
and
people.
And the charging, exactly. And even if you have the best car, even if you have the best car that accepts the fastest charging, we're still talking half an hour as the fastest, or maybe I'm sorry, like 20 minutes to get from 0 to 100% full. If you're at one of those superchargers that Tesla's up as
how long is 0 to 100 and how long?
Like 20, between 20 minutes and
half.
Yeah,
I haven't seen
like that
yet in the wild. To be
well,
perfectly
I'm saying
honest,
it's
you know?
There. That's where they're supposed to be. And that's best case scenario if there happens to be a charger available wherever you pull over. So before you do this, you need to know not only where you live, what kind of infrastructure you have in terms of chargers, how many places have chargers, how many chargers do they have?
Yeah.
How busy are those chargers on any given day, on the weekend, during the day, late night, early morning?
So,
and these are all questions you have to ask.
So my sister, who bought this electric car, didn't even, because she rents, and she didn't even put a charger in her home because she knows she lives a block away from a community center that has a charger. And she knows that her commute to work is like 3 kilometers. So she's always, you know, once a week, she'll plug it into the supercharger, let it charge for an hour. It's up to top. And she trickle charges it at home and gets what it needs overnight. And she's never worried about it. I live on a, you know, in a suburb of Montreal. I drive into town sometimes. There are benefits. I get to drive in the fast lane and the reserved lane for buses and electric vehicles. I can park sometimes better than handicapped people can park because the spots are even better. But if someone else is there, then I'm screwed. If I'm not near an outlet, I'm screwed. I think there's too many concerns in my head to make this jump. And I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe infrastructure needs to improve, but I don't know what it's going to take for me to make the jump finally. Maybe if I knew I wasn't traveling distances, I wasn't going to. I don't know. It's a conundrum. And then now that weeds down the choices, right? Because more and more companies are coming out with vehicles, but there's still some kind of delay going on. I don't know if it's still silicon shortage and chip shortage or just a backlog, but you know, I need to start shopping now. And I it's a choice that I think a lot of people are in, trying to figure out what do they do. My brother's lease is up on his car, and it's cheaper for him to buy the car out because he can sell it for $10,000 more than to just, you know, give it back and just get a new car. And same with leases. Yeah,
I know. And I know it really, you know, I said it was an infrastructure issue. It's that, and it's also a lifestyle choice. I know that sounds ridiculous when you're talking about a vehicle, but you also, much like when, you know, I was talking about, you know, when I had that conversation with you about talking about, you know, how you use an item, how you use a computer, how you use this, how do you use your car?
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like your sister, it's the perfect storm, because if she's only commuting, what'd you say, 3 kilometers to work?
Yeah, I think she's the perfect example. And they also have another vehicle in their home that is gas. You know,
that's perfect, because that way you're not that worried. But for someone, listen, also for someone that loves to drive, it becomes a thing too.
Yeah.
Because electric vehicles are not known for their great handling, their great, you know, weight distribution, their great steering. The feel of steering is, for even though like a fly-by-wire is in a lot of cars now, not just electric vehicles, where you're not actually turning, you know, the wheels physically, you're telling a computer to turn the wheels when you turn the wheel. So when you turn the steering wheel. So, I mean, that's in regular cars as well, but it's a different experience. It's a different ownership style. How do you drive? I mean, how much do you love driving? What kind of premium do you put on being able to get in the car and just go, whether it's driving, you know, a couple hundred miles for a job, or just getting in and going away for the weekend without that worry of, oh crap, are we going to make it because we have to worry about A, B, or C with the electric vehicle? Yeah. And that's not to say I don't think electric vehicles are wonderful. They are, and they're important. They're sustainable, assuming that we find cleaner ways to manufacture batteries, which I know is a separate issue. That's another conversation. But in terms of, you know, not putting out, you know, fossil fuel, not putting out pollution into the air every day, it's a fantastic thing. But there are compromises and questions that need to be addressed before you just dive in and say, hey, I want to be this person. Can you be that person? Is the infrastructure there? Is your lifestyle appropriate for being that person? Does that make sense?
It does. Am I at the point? Is the world at a point now where if I don't get a hybrid or an electric, I'm going to get suddenly pointed at?
No, I don't think we're there yet. I think in 10 years we're going to be there, which is going to kill me, because I know I want to be ecologically sound. I care about the environment. I do care, especially I'm getting older. I'll be 60 in a year and change. And I think about not just myself. I don't think about myself. I think about what kind of planet are we leaving to our kids? What kind of example am I setting? What kind of planet am I leaving behind? What has my footprint been? And if I can do something to augment that and make it better than it's been, or change things even one person at a time, I want to be a part of that. And then there's a little voice inside of me that says, oh, but I love to drive, and they make the gasoline cars. They still aren't the same as the electric cars. The electric cars are still not up to that driving style, but I don't want to be selfish. So you're trying to have, you want to have both. And it's hard. And I don't think we're quite there yet, but we're getting there. But I have the same thought process. I was looking at the Model 3. I was looking at the Model Y. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm there with you. But Mark, I do know that even if you're getting a car with a combustion engine, with the kind of cars that you're looking at, that, like you said, you may have to wait to find out what, and you can't just put a pre-order in anymore. You can't just pre-order the car from the factory to be made overseas.
Some you can, some you can't. Like, I mean, Volkswagen.
Some you have to wait for an allocation. They have their allocation at the dealership, and they tell you, we are only allocated this many cars in this time period. So you have to put in for your allocation, creepy air quotes, to make sure that car is not only going to be made, but allocated to your dealership in your region.
And most places you can opt out of that. Like, even when the car arrives, you can get your deposit back.
Of course you can. Say, oh, anybody can take it, and they can take it. That's fine.
Yeah. But I'm leaning towards, and I don't know if you, what do you think I'm leaning towards? I have seen a smile on your face as we do this on Zoom here. Tell me, I'm leaning towards, tell me what I'm leaning towards, Mitchell. You know me. See how well do you know?
I know you want something sporty. And I know the times you've compromised that sportiness in the form factor of an SUV, you haven't been happy. So clearly you like sporty cars and not sporty SUV. Am I good so far?
Not really, but go. Yeah.
Oh, wait, you're going to go SUV with a sporty SUV? That's funny because I was looking at them too. Oh, man. Oh, man.
I've realized over the past year or so, especially since, you know, the world has gone back to a little normalcy.
I would have said Golf R, but go ahead. Yeah.
That I need the space.
Right. Okay.
I need the space. And in a Golf R, which is what I've been waiting to order, by the way, for 2 years, by the time that comes to fruition, I don't think I'm going to enjoy it anymore. I think that the way the climate is, the way the snow is, it's fun and all, but I need the space and I want a bit of comfort. And I think that my wife is going to go for a full electric next time around.
Okay.
That being said, she drives a Volvo S60 now.
Great car.
And great car. And I really, truly enjoy driving it. So I'm going to be test driving the Volvo XC60 in a couple weeks.
Really?
And check out those SUVs. I don't want the big XC90.
It's overkill. It's big.
And by the way,
it's
Volvo, big. Everything Volvo is doing now is hybrid. There's no gasoline only. It's either hybrid or electric. So you don't have a choice
brilliant.
There yet. So that's kind of what I'm looking at right now.
I got to tell you, I had an S40, a T5 S40 years ago. And I think there are some, you know what? We talk about this with tech products all the time. And a car is a tech product. Whether we admit it or not, a car is a giant,
expensive,
daily use tech product, right? That's what they turned into. And we talk about tech products and how, the experience of using them, what they do for us, how we shop for them, what we're looking for. But the fact is, at the end of the day, it's a giant tech product on wheels.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, people sometimes think of certain brands of tech products and they undervalue them. I think with TCL, it's not a Samsung, it's not an LG OLED, but you know what? Their screen technology is so good. They have caught up to the big guys, and their screen technology in many cases is just as good as the big guys. And there are certain products like that that we have to champion because people don't realize how good they are. And I think Volvo on the driving side, this is my long-winded version of getting to Volvo. Volvo has gotten the short end of the stick in terms of cars and the way they drive, the way they handle, because people think of Volvo from the 80s and 90s, the big boxy, you know, S40 wagons back in the day. Their cars drive amazingly well. Their technology
especially
is great.
Snow.
Their safety. Oh, yes. All-wheel drive. Their all-wheel drive system is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. With a balance system to make sure not only that the proper power is going to the wheels, but that the anti-tipping so the car has a proper center of gravity and doesn't top over, you know? So they have a lot of technology. I love Volvo. And the XC series of SUVs, they're stunning. They perform really well, like little sporty. Oh, I think that's a great choice.
Yeah,
wait till I tell you what I was thinking of. But go ahead.
What are you thinking of?
Well, I'm having the same sort of conundrum because I know in about 6 months, it's going to be, you know, time for me to start looking as well.
Yeah.
And I've been driving a Mercedes C300. I never thought I'd be a Mercedes driver in my life. And now I am. And they're great. And I was like, you know what? The C300 is great. It's sporty. It's luxurious. It's not super expensive where I feel tremendously guilty. I got a great deal on it. So I felt okay about driving it. But I was like, I miss my GTI, my M3, my, you know, the fast sort of, but I like the utility of having room to put things in, just like you.
Sounds familiar.
I like being able to schlep, right?
Yeah.
So I was actually looking at the GLA, which I think is their bottom of the line SUV, but the AMG version, the GLA 35.
That's on my list to try, but I mean, I think that.
I test drove it, Mark. It's a monster. It's an absolute monster. It drives great. All-wheel drive again. All the AMGs are all-wheel drive. And I was like, oh my God, could I drive like a really sporty, small SUV? The answer is yes, I could. And they're also reasonable for what they are. They're not cheap, but they're not crazy, you know? So I could still live with myself if I did that. But yeah, I've actually been looking at sporty, small SUVs. Yours is a sporty midsize SUV, but I've been looking at sporty, small SUVs because I like the comfort. I like the sporty. I like being able to carry things. I don't like, I can't carry that in my little car. Even though little cars are fun to drive, I like being, you know, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I have a house, I have dogs. We like to be able to schlep things. So I think that's a great choice. Good for you, Mark. Good for you.
Well, I like your choice too. But, you know, the cost in Canada for some reason is just, I don't know, I guess it must be the exchange rate or what's going on. I have no idea what's going on, but it's just, it's a little bit harder to attain certain vehicles here, especially with the interest rate that are not very favorable now. I mean, when a car dealership is telling you, oh, you could save 2.5 points on your interest rate and you're still at like 5, that kind of affects your decision making. You were, you know, a car that you might have been able to afford 3 years ago is not necessarily in the same class. Like Tesla. I mean, Teslas are just, if you want to lease a Tesla, you're paying $1,500 a month.
It's a little bit crazy. Well, not here. You're not paying that much here, but and it's not, like you said, it's not just the exchange rate. You know, it's not just, well, Canadian dollar, American has nothing to do with that. It's that cars are genuinely more expensive there. It's, you know, you've told me even like to get GTIs and Golf R's, which are meant to be affordable, sporty cars. They're meant to be, you know, cars for the masses, you know, and the prices are ridiculous, ridiculous. It's like BMW pricing for a Volkswagen. It's crazy.
Yeah, then we'll try to get a BMW.
And that's like Ferrari pricing. It's nuts. Did I mention it was crazy?
That's a little nuts. Try to get a Ferrari. Yeah,
please. That's great.
And then actually, you're buying a yacht.
Well, Tracy and I were driving today. You know, we're trying to get stuff done before the weekend, and we're driving around, and we saw the Lamborghini SUV.
Which is gorgeous, by the way.
You know, it's funny.
What's the starting price?
No, hold on a second. You know what? Hold on. Kill some time for me. Just sing something pretty.
La, 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 la. That's my singing.
Okay, Lamborghini. Here we go. Hold on. I'm on the Lamborghini website right now. Official website of Lamborghini. Let's look at models. I have to accept their cookies first. I don't want to do that. Let's look at their models. What is the... Aventador is, no, that's not the Aventador is one of their cars. That's crazy. What is it called? Do you know what it's called?
The Lamborghini SUV.
Is it Urus? Is it? No.
Alexa, what is the Lamborghini SUV called? Sorry, you guys at home. Urus?
Yeah, it is the Urus. Okay, that's what I was looking at. Yeah.
Thank you.
Why does it not look like an SUV? Oh, there it is. Okay. You know what? It's so expensive, they don't even let you build one online. It's like if you have to ask, you can't afford it kind of websites. Like, normally it'll say, you know, build yours now.
Yeah, this is when AI is not going to let you on the site anymore. Sorry, sir, we've analyzed your financial situation and your responsibility is not met up to our standards.
Okay, well, I'll Google it. Lamborghini Urus, okay. Okay. Suggested retail price of about $221,506. No, well, there's a good reason they don't put it on the website, I guess. You know,
yeah,
that is so funny. So it starts at 221. Wow. I'm guessing they don't discount it much. God. Call me crazy. I think they don't discount on these cars. At least Mercedes, BMW, you know, you could still get, you know, they'll still discount the cars. Although if they wouldn't for a while during, you know, in the heart of COVID, they would not, because they know there were so few cars. The auto dealers had the balance of power on their side. Now it's balancing out a little bit. You can still get some deals out there, but no, you're not going to get a. You're not going to get a deal on your Lambo Urus. But yeah, we saw one driving by and I was like, it's nice, but this one was like all blacked out. It was almost too much and had too many things going on. I prefer sort of a smooth line, like a smooth look.
I feel you.
You know, kind of like the, you know, the Bentley, you know, sedan coupe and thing. So this one was a little bit too much for me. But yeah, it's nice. I can't afford the car anyway, so it's okay for me to not like it so much.
So for those wanting to donate to Mitchell Whitfield or my car charity, please let us know. Contact at yourtechreport.com.
Violin playing for one.
Oh, yep. Lord. Yeah. Okay, we'll be back after this. Stick around.
Your Tech Report will be right back.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
It is your favorite girl. That's right, it's the Allie Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating, and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.